What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passage of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, an extension of the YouTube channel Dead Meat. I'm James.
I'm Chelsea, and we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and we like to get scared together.
Yeah, we like to get scared, and we like to get stuffed together, because we're...
That sounded weird.
That's okay. This movie's fucking weird, dude.
This movie is weird.
Yep. We're talking about The Stuff.
Yes, The Stuff.
1985. This movie by Larry Cohen is about this hot craze yogurt like thing.
It's kind of yogurty. It made me think of Cool Whip.
I'm sorry. This movie's a mess.
It is.
I know it's beloved. It's actually got a positive score on Rotten Tomatoes.
It does. I was surprised by that.
It is a fresh score.
I mean, I think everyone who worked on it kind of knows it's a mess. I think Larry Cohen knows it's a mess. Let's just get into it.
Sure.
I don't even know what else we could say about it. It is a very funny movie.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to say that it was captivating the whole time, but there was a point where we were like, how much of this is left?
Yeah, there was a point where we paused it, and we were both scared to look at the TV to see how much was
but
left.
But we should have known better, because Paul Sorvino hadn't been introduced at that point. Yeah.
I think when we were at Monsterpalooza a couple years ago, they had people selling screen used stuff, because there's so much of it. Watching this, you understand why there's factory scenes and scenes with
and
stuff
supermarkets.
Displays in the supermarkets. You can buy screen used stuff.
I need to get some.
But right next to that table, I remember that Paul Sorvino was.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. He was at the convention. So. Let's get into it, man,
because the movie just jumps the fuck in.
Yes, there's not an opening.
You start this movie and you think that something went wrong with your disc.
I thought something was weird something was like cut off.
Because it's just a guy walking up to like some stuff coming out of the ground.
Yeah, it's railroad workers.
And it's like snowing. But for some reason, he can decipher this other white thing on the ground that's not snow.
I think it's moving.
It's bubbling.
It kind of... It reminds me of like Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, exactly.
Oil bubbling out of the ground, and they're like, "Oh boy!" Although this guy just eats it.
He eats it.
His first thought is to eat it.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Whatever that could be, it's mighty good.
So he's eating it, and everyone else is kind of giving him shit.
Yeah, I don't eat snow. Yeah. One of his buddies say, like, that's like a common preference to have a positive or negative thing about.
Yeah. Oh no, like, thank you. I don't eat snow. I'm vegetarian. And then all of a sudden, we cut to this kid, Jason, in bed. Yeah.
Here's the thing. This movie's editing is insane.
All over the place.
And I'm not talking about like stylistic editing, like Edgar Wright montage stuff. No, just like it's very basic storytelling editing is so messed up. And I read that he had to cut a lot of stuff because the studio thought it was too long, and he was like, they just weren't ready for the cerebral film I was trying to tell.
Yes, the satire.
And to its credit, like, the film is a satire of consumer culture and whatever it gets into in the end.
Yeah.
With Paul Sorvino's character. So little Jason goes downstairs. It's in the middle of the night, and he opens the fridge, and the stuff
There's a bucket. It comes in buckets.
I don't know. They're like, I don't know, ice cream carts?
Yeah, or like sour cream kind of containers.
And he sees it moving. But all of a sudden, you're like, we just saw this stuff get discovered in the earth, and now it's like packaged and branded.
We're assuming
like,
that this is a while later.
I guess. Who knows? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's not the details this movie's trying
so
to get into.
Yeah, so he sees the stuff tipped over in the fridge, and it's moving around.
So he freaks out, but then his dad appears
Holy
out of nowhere.
Shit. His scary dad shows up and is like, what the fuck are you doing up in the middle of the night? Like, it's scary.
Why the fuck are you going to do this to me? I thought you were a fucking fucking burglar. He doesn't actually say
but
fuck
he
like
says,
this, but
I
it
thought
feels
you were
like
a burglar.
It.
I could have killed you, kind of. And
definitely gives his butt a little swat as he sends him back to bed.
It's like Don't Wake Daddy. That is the premise of Don't Wake Daddy.
This dad sat up in bed and his nightcap flew off.
Listen to me, young man. You get your butt back upstairs to bed, you understand? Don't ever pull this on me again. Now move.
Don't wake daddy. I'm Parker Brothers.
Then it cuts to a commercial for the stuff.
I love, there's a few commercials for the stuff that you kind of cut to in this. And
just in the middle of it.
They're really fun.
Yeah, like out of nowhere.
This one is maybe the most sensual out of the three.
It reminded
or four.
Me like one of those fucking things in Star Wars Holiday Special.
I was going to say it reminded me of What's Her Face in the Holiday Special. I can't remember her name, but it's the lady who when the Wookiee dad puts on the VR helmet and she's like,
"Oh, yes. I can feel my creation."
And you're basically watching a Wookiee beat off Merry Christmas. That's what it is.
Oh, Happy Life Day.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's Life Day. Excuse me.
When I was a little girl, I didn't think there was anything that I liked better than ice cream. Now I'm a big girl.
And I want to eat white marshmallow fluff out of a tub.
The consistency
I'm
of the stuff
adult.
Is not consistent throughout the movie.
No.
Sometimes it's like a paste.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like a foam. Like
yeah.
a liquid foam.
It's because I was on the Wikipedia. It said that it was a few different things depending
including,
on what. I think
fire extinguisher
fire
foam.
Fire extinguisher, yeah.
Yeah.
So
let's go to a boat.
Oh, yeah. Cut to a boat. This movie's an art film pretty much at this point because there's no, so far, there's not much of a thread between anything except for the stuff.
Oh, and but we're about to get the needle that'll thread through all of this. I lost that metaphor.
Yeah,
but
it's fine.
It's okay, because
oh,
on this boat
yeah,
is
it's
a bunch of
rich people. On
yeah,
this
a bunch
yacht.
Of rich ice cream execs talking about how, like, ice cream execs talking about how, like, the stuff is putting us out of business. We need someone to go in there and sabotage.
Yes, and we need to figure out how we can make our own version of the stuff.
Yo, in walks.
He doesn't walk up. He rides up in another boat.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, he does.
Yo, okay. Here's our hero, quote unquote, of this movie, played by Michael Moriarty. What's his name?
He is David Moe Rutherford.
And they call me Moe because I always want Moe.
I always want Moe. You give me money, I'm going to want Moe.
Dude, his voice is my favorite
it's
fucking thing
really
in the world.
Good.
He is just, how'd you describe him? Pete Campbell.
He's
after.
Pete Campbell, because when we first saw him,
he
before
like
he talked,
Campbell.
We were like, oh shit, Pete Campbell's only, coming.
Only if it, like, if it was Pete Campbell sitting on someone's shoulders, because this dude is a giant.
It's
he's like
Pete
6'4".
Campbell's stacked
on
top of each other. Yeah, I said he was like Pete Campbell after a mint julep and some Quaaludes. It's like, he has this crazy accent, but it's very slow.
Or they had been paid off. That is the American way, you know.
That's what everyone in this movie sounds like. They all sound like they're on lewds because, like, they're all slurring out all of their lines. We
had
to put subtitles on.
Yeah, we had to put subtitles on. I don't know.
I don't know what they're saying.
I don't think we were tired either.
No.
I think it was just couldn't understand them. I have a bunch of quotes in my notes that I don't even remember why I wrote them down, but I'm pretty sure I wrote them just because he said them so fucking weird.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna edit in whatever that line is.
And you know they couldn't afford multiple takes.
No,
so whatever
no.
There's one scene where Michael Moriarty fucks up a line and they just leave it in because he like stumbles on a line.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those long takes where it's people walking and a whole bunch
happens.
They got
the dolly for the day.
I got no proof at all, and that's why I got to go to the factory with you tonight to get proof.
Yeah, credit to the actors for finishing the take.
Yeah. Oh, really quick, the guy playing the head honcho of the ice cream moguls, the older guy, his name's Alexander Scourby. This was his last film role, The Stuff. He, like, old school actor, but what I thought was super interesting, I looked at his Wikipedia, he considered audiobooks his most important work. According to Wikipedia, this is a quote, Scourby read 422 books for the Talking Books program of the American Foundation for the Blind. And he was like, he's been doing it since the 1950s. He would read books. He read the King James Bible in the 50s. And it was a set of 169 LP records with a running time of 84 and a half hours. I just thought that was so cool. I had to put it in here.
Man, imagine if he had been around for Audible.
Mo Rutherford comes by and he gets on the boat and he shakes hands with everyone. Oh, sweaty and just palm. Comments,
oh, there's another second sweaty palm. Third sweaty palm. Sweaty palm over here.
So we learn he's a former FBI agent turned industrial saboteur.
Yes. And also it seems like his lines are all dubbed over. They don't match his mouth.
They sometimes do, and then they don't.
In this first scene, it seems like his mouth is not moving the right way to cause this drawl to come out.
Yeah.
And I almost wonder if it was like a choice they made after shooting of like, hey, Larry, actually, I think my character should have a southern drawl. Can I re-record all my lines? Because this guy... Yeah, we looked it up.
It's like an Argento movie.
Yeah. No, that's what it seems like at some point.
It does a little bit.
That awful
just
dubbing.
Just weird dubs.
Love Argento movies, with weird but the accents. Dubbing. Holy fuck. Yeah. It's so bad
it's
always.
It's so weird. It always. Yeah.
But this guy is from Detroit. He's Detroit's own.
That's right.
Represent. Yeah. But that southern accent, I don't know where that's coming from.
He also has some crazy boots on. He sits down and I legitimately yell, not ironically, what are those? Because holy fuck,
that happened.
They're under his suit pants, and it's such a weird, like, he's got brown boots, gray pants, and a blue jacket, or some like just awful awful combination of.
But he's great at his job, because it turns out he bugged them all at some point. They all have little wire taps
wires
in their
so
jackets.
To demonstrate his skills
doing that. And then on his way out, he makes sure to punch a man in the face.
We cut back to the kid Jason.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get his family to not eat the stuff because he totally saw it moving in the fridge.
Yeah, he's got his dad, who we already saw. He's got his mom, and he's got an older brother who looks like Leo Camacho.
Yeah, this older brother looks like our friend Leo.
He's got piercing
eyes. If you know Leo, he looks like this kid.
It's the eyes and eyebrows.
Yeah. So I think the Jason basically just... open hand slaps the stuff out of his brother's hand and it goes everywhere. But then instead of getting mad, the mom looks at the mess that it made everywhere and goes, oh, it doesn't even spot. It doesn't even stain. And you don't like it.
And he doesn't like it. Because he's run off at this point. He does a lot of running in this.
He does. Cut back to a commercial for the stuff.
A little faster pace, okay? Let's get a little movement into this.
It's a commercial being shot. We're watching this.
Yeah.
This lady Nicole.
Real quick. Uh-huh. After this scene is Jason in the supermarket. Why not have those scenes together? Why not have Jason run off from his home and then have him get to the supermarket and do what he does there? Mm-hmm. Why abruptly cut to this supermarket or this supermodel commercial shoot in the middle?
It's a bunch of women in like the super 80s style bathing suits where the hips are super high up
so
and it
bad.
Makes you look so weird. I think that's been coming back in style lately,
and
I hate it.
It fucking sucks.
It looks so weird. It just reminds me of Barbie legs. Like, you know how Barbie legs attach like kind
yeah,
of
like
to the
up.
Side
yeah,
of her
yeah.
body? That's what it makes you look
it's
like.
It's so dumb.
It's really weird. Yeah.
It's giving you that long butt look.
Yeah, long 80s butt.
Yeah,
sure.
As Horny for Horror has described it, as like long bees.
Long bees.
Long bees and nat tees.
Yeah, lots of long bees and nat tees in this runway scene.
Yep.
I also think, speaking of Nicole and her being the ad exec of the stuff.
Oh, have we introduced her yet?
I briefly mentioned her.
She's directing
the
commercial.
She's like, work it. Yes, eat the stuff. Yeah, show me your tits.
She's this very Italian woman. The actress, I forget her name. She does fine.
Oh, yeah, she
her
does.
Her character disintegrates by the end of the movie. But
man, that's one of my notes. Like, this character just mentally... regresses, like, it's very odd, but so speaking of marketing the stuff, how do we not have I'm stuffed, stuff your face, stuff it, you know.
Oh,
all
do you
these
have a
choice.
Do you have a list? Of,
I was I was working on it today. I was working on my stuff copy. I just don't know. There's so many missed opportunities, but instead they're like long V's, nat T's. They don't even need. It's weird. They don't need a. Like, if it's so popular, why bother hiring models to sell it?
That's what I was wondering. Or just, like, why have an ad campaign at all? It would be like, what's it, Jiffy? Jif?
Arnold Palmer doesn't buy ads.
What's that, the quick bake mix? Like, is it Jiffy?
Shake and Bake?
No. Like, cakes and cupcakes and shit. I don't know. I took a tour of the factory when I was little. It was like a Jiffy. I think
Jiffy's
it's Jiffy.
Peanut butter.
No. Not that Jiffy. Fuck. Whatever. Write in. Tell me what the fuck I'm talking about.
What, they
about.
Don't buy ads?
They don't do ads because they're so good.
Because they're just such a, I guess. A name. Yeah, I know Arnold Palmer and...
There's probably a huge one that
like
we're
Arizona Iced Tea. Because that's why they're so fucking cheap.
Yeah.
Because they don't spend any money on marketing.
That's why you can get like a fucking silo of it for a dollar.
Yeah. High school me's drink of choice.
Mo Rutherford
crashes the shoot and insists on speaking with the ad executive, Nicole.
I don't wait in line. You look like one don't wait in line. You wouldn't get where you were if you wait in line. How do you know that story? Well, that wasn't really a story, man. But
no, we're bordering on Boomhauer.
Like, right, so does he.
We're just towing that line. Oh my god, he kind of is Boomhauer. Like he
move Boomhauer from Texas to like Virginia, and there's Mo Rutherford.
So he lies to her and says that he's an oil man, which oh, at first man. In my notes in my notebook, I wrote, oh, he's an oil man, because I could not keep track of what the fuck was happening. So I was like, okay, now I get it. He's an oil man, which he's not, but he sure fucking looks and sounds like one.
Yeah, he does.
He just needs a giant hat.
Yeah, that's all he needs.
Mm-hmm. So he says he wants to buy the ad company and put Nicole in charge. So that's kind of his way of getting to talk to her. That's like getting.
Why does he want to talk to her?
Because she is responsible for marketing the stuff. And
okay.
She might be able to help him figure out what the stuff is.
Yeah.
He's just trying to figure out what the stuff is.
Yeah, his job is to figure out what's in the stuff because nobody knows what's in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Jason fucking fucks up the store.
Oh, man. Jason goes to the supermarket. By the way, it's a school day. I think he faked. He's like, I don't feel well. So he skips school to like go destroy the supermarket,
which is
the best. He is just knocking stuff off the shelves, like literally
the stuff off
the shelves. And they cut to these two supermarket employees who just finished making a pyramid of stuff. And they're so sad because they know it's about to get wrecked by this little kid.
The little kid actor can't even stop himself from laughing as he's taking this baseball bat. Or no, it's a rake, I think.
Yeah, he's smiling the whole time.
He's smiling and like laughing and tries to turn it into like an angry grimace to like be in character.
No,
but
can't. It's too much
you're
fun.
Having a fun time.
So much fun. He also totally wipes out. He
oh, yeah.
Trips
the
over
aisle.
His
dude, he eats shit. It's hilarious.
He eats such shit.
But he gets back up and keeps going.
I don't even know if he was supposed to do that. I think that was a real fall.
That was a real fucking tumble, dude. He crashed through some shit.
And it looks like it hurt.
And
so
yeah, that
bad.
Was not a stunt double.
Yeah.
Is this when Mo goes to the FDA, dude?
Yeah,
because we're just cutting back and forth all over the place.
It's nuts. If you think we're blowing through this, like,
yeah,
we are a
go
little
watch
bit,
the movie.
But also this is what the movie is. So now Mo goes to an FDA executive's house. It's Danny Aiello. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Aiello.
But yeah, he's Sal from Do the Right Thing.
I didn't even realize.
Sal's Pizzeria.
Nice.
Yeah, that's kind of, I think he's always kind of cast as that character.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably what he's most famous for. But so he questions the FDA executive. Because
I guess the FDA, like, it was shady when they let the stuff go.
Yeah,
through.
Which this is such commentary on what the FDA kind of actually does. I think he says something about if it doesn't cause people harm, then we can't say no to it.
Yeah, I think he says something about like, well, it's not a drug, so
right.
It's fine.
If it's not making any claims,
yeah.
Then it's fine.
Yeah, so here's a little bit of
real.
Commentary.
That's like what the FDA does.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of like sharp fighting
it's,
commentary.
It's like how those fucking stupid ass supplements can like
Oh, like homeopathic stuff.
Yeah, can like make these vague claims and just put an asterisk on their bottle.
Do you know what homeopathy actually is?
Bullshit.
Okay, but like the specifics of what it is, like what placebo? Something is to be homeopathic. No, so what it is, and this blew my mind when I learned this because I didn't know. It's the concept of it is it's like. It's super diluted, like, if you get a supplement of something that's homeopathic, it's a, like, super diluted version of what it's selling you. So, essentially, you could sell water that, like, you put a supplement in, and you just kept filtering it over and over again, to the point where there's, like, none of the supplement in it, but that water had been, like, in contact with that supplement, so it's a homeo... It's insane.
Oh, okay.
There's not enough of anything in any of it to do anything, which is why they can...
Yeah.
Like, there's... You can OD, quote-unquote, on a homeopathic substance and nothing left. Anyway. But yeah, so that's kind of what's going on here.
Yeah.
He has a giant, scary dog.
Is it a Doberman?
I think it's a Doberman.
Mm-hmm. But it's so weird because, like, yeah, the guy is, like, afraid of his dog. And yeah. And Mo's like, why is your master afraid of you, huh? And I still don't know.
I don't really get it.
Like, I get the guy says that he feeds his dog the stuff. So I guess the dog is, like, the stuff addict.
I think that's why is he, because I think, so the dog attacks the...
Yeah, FDA the dog man. Like attacks the dude. It's so abrupt. It's because really like there's so Mo fucking leaves. He goes and sees the stuff store. And he's like 2:30 a.m. They're still buying stuff.
It's like an ice cream stand.
And then it just cuts back to Sal fucking yelling and being like, "No, don't
and
hurt
the,
me!"
The dog's
and it's the
barking
dog
at him.
And then like the Sal tries to go call for someone for help, and the dog fucking pulls the phone line out of the wall with his mouth. He rips it out, and
then he eats his master's face.
Which would I was like, "What is this dog an alien?" Which like I guess if the dog is the stuff.
Yeah, because that is, we do
spoiler,
learn,
I guess.
Yeah, spoiler for the stuff. Well, we do learn that the stuff is kind of a parasite, almost. It's like, it's a living...
If you eat enough of it, it replaces your insides.
Pretty much.
And then it controls you.
It hollows you out, and then it leaves your body.
It can leave your body, and then, yeah,
so
you're
I guess,
your shell.
Yeah,
so I guess the dog is a little stuffed dog, stuffy. That's what they're called,
stuffies.
These damn stuffies.
Yeah, it's like bath salts.
I just love the dog ripping the phone line out of the wall.
Yes, that's such
like,
a good
no. You're
detail.
Not calling for help. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I love it so much. No, I don't even want to think. Okay, it's the stuff or like the parasite controlling the dog. No. I want to believe the dog just
this
knew
just
to
like
do that.
Sentient dog.
Yeah. Mo goes to investigate a town called Stater.
Yeah, population 452.
He goes there because this is a town where they tested the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was a test market town.
Yes.
Which is a thing.
Yeah, that happens with like new flavors
new,
of stuff
yeah,
all the time.
New
like
fast
new Mountain
food.
Dew flavors and yeah, fast food stuff.
Michigan is, I think, a place where they test stuff like that a lot.
Like a certain town in it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, they'll pick, like, companies will pick towns that I think demographically are
represent,
kind
like,
of what they're looking for. Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yep. And
it's a thing.
Test weird KFC products and stuff. So he goes to Stater, and this is where we meet Chocolate Chip Charlie.
Hell yeah.
And this is after Charlie jumps out at Mo from behind a car.
And does, like, karate.
Yeah, and he just attacks. He attacks Mo Rutherford.
And I'm just looking up his name. Is it
Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris,
I wrote
yes.
down a little bit about him. He's a original Saturday Night Live cast
yes,
member.
1975 premiere episode. And he was there for 5 years. He was there until 1980, although apparently he felt as though during his time on the show, he was constantly put in stereotypical
probably.
Character roles. Was he the only black character or only black actor on the...
I don't
the,
know. I can't say.
I can't say for certain, but I'm going to assume that he was the only black player in those first couple seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe
I honestly don't really know. I don't know super, super old SNL.
Yeah, right before he runs into Chocolate Chip Charlie, he like talks to this gas station guy, and I wrote down in my notes, nobody talks like a person in this movie. Nobody acts like a human being. And I know that for some of them, it's because they're stuffies. But otherwise, it's just because it's a weird fucking movie. And everyone's like dialogue is so insane.
What was the gas? I don't have him on here.
The gas station guy, he like asks to fill him up. And then for some reason, the gas station guy keeps pushing his restrooms.
There's nice clean restrooms out there if you want to. Don't you want to wash your hands or something? I put in a new towel.
But then when he goes to, when Mo goes to check out Chocolate Chip Charlie's car, the gas station guy runs off into the woods.
Oh my God. Yeah, I forgot that happened. Yeah, and then we
He just like looks freaked out really and he runs off into the woods and we never see him again.
Wow. I forgot that happened.
Yep. Because then Chocolate Chip Charlie's like, oh, I guess I'm part of the people who hired you.
Yeah. Thank God Wikipedia cleared this up because yes. We were so confused.
Yeah.
He's part of the group of basically junk food executives that hired Mo to sabotage
he's like
the
famous
stuff.
Amos.
He's Famous Amos. It's a parody of Famous Amos cookies. Yeah. Yeah, confirmed.
So now we have this tag team of Chocolate Chip Charlie and Mo, which once it got rolling, I was like, cool. Is this going to be our movie?
No.
Sadly not. No. Sadly nope. Not. Nope. But
I liked them as a little team.
It's
for
great.
A little
The actors are playing off each other and having a great time.
Yeah.
They go into the post office, which is also the gas station.
Oh, and, yeah. And also just the best acting in this movie.
And Chocolate Chip Charlie mentions the gas station guy because he's like, you're the only one here. There was besides the gas station guy, and he's gone now.
Yeah, that guy left the movie 5 minutes ago.
But that's okay. We have this post office guy who Chelsea loves.
I'm really sad that his great acting moments are all physical. So if you're listening to this, you won't be able to really. You'll have to go watch the video of this. I'll put in some clips of him. But wow.
Go away. Leave us alone.
Excuse me.
And he, sneaks off to the bathroom
very
like
discreetly.
A cartoon.
Yeah. But yeah, there's no one in this town. Apparently, they've all moved to Midland, Georgia.
Yes.
Just another place.
All the mail at the post office is like being forwarded to Midland, Georgia. When the post office worker sneaks off to go to the bathroom, there is a crew member's head in the shot.
Yep.
And it's not even... just barely. There's a lot of some dude's head in the shot.
It's like
shot.
His frizzy hair in the foreground.
And I wonder
at the bottom of the frame.
It must be a restoration thing where maybe originally the
no,
original
that was in the original.
You think there's
absolutely
so much of that guy's head?
Yeah, no, that's come on. Look at this movie.
I don't know.
That
even if
that
you're making a shitty movie.
They can't afford second takes, baby.
That's true. You know, I bet they had no idea, and then they got that film back. That happens. Oh, man. I'm going to tell an embarrassing story from film school. Although, you know what? It wasn't my fault, so it's not that bad.
Okay.
I took a class, so we were shooting on film, actual film, mm-hmm. which, yes, is very, very expensive. So in film school, we would have to do fundraisers pretty much to get money. We'd either have to do fundraisers or get grants to raise enough money to even buy film stock for the projects we were doing. We did a day of shooting on a project I was directing. Our cameraman, we did not put film in the camera.
What the fuck?
Just like there was no film.
Then
in
you
there.
Didn't do a day of shooting. You did a day of pretend. You did a day of
rehearsal.
I know.
When I think about that, I think of how insane it is that we basically were just doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we were setting up every like lighting and doing the light meter to make sure that it exposes properly on the film and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, it was bad.
That's bad. Yeah. You're gonna have to tell me the name of your cameraman after we stop recording. Or camera woman.
It sucked though. He was very God, that's film school.
It's film school.
He was
baby.
Very
Forget it.
Apologetic and I it sucked.
They go in the back and find this dude's body.
He's like all catatonic and
his
mouth's
open all the way because the stuff came out of him.
Yeah. This movie, when this happened and we get the close up of this guy with a huge mouth, it is so gross out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And
it's cool.
Reminded me of Sleepaway Camp.
Ooh.
Because
okay,
Sleepaway
sure.
Camp is similarly just what the fuck. And it's, granted, this stuff has a much larger budget than Sleepaway Camp, but you still have just that general air of awkwardness, and they're not super polished movies. But then all of a sudden you get these graphic close-ups of the gore.
I just love how when they're supposedly looking at the body, they're like looking not at the floor.
It's so weird.
Their eye line is way off. They're like looking at the wall, and then it'll cut to the body laying on the floor. And it's like,
and but then we're shooting them from up a flight of stairs.
It's fucked up, man. So they leave, and what really messed me up was the stuff goes back into the guy.
Yeah, and he kind of wakes back up because we see him again later.
We do. But it's weird.
Yeah, so
why'd the stuff leave him? Yeah,
I don't know.
They get chased by random dudes.
Yeah, so Mo and Charlie, they get chased down by a posse.
Just a random posse.
They are punching these guys in the face and breaking their faces
open. Yeah, their faces are just falling, and like they're punching holes into them.
It's very that part in The Thing with the
with the paddles, the defibrillators. Yeah,
that's kind of what it is, except they're just punching through people's faces.
And then they get away on the boat, and then they're sitting in a bar talking about,
wasn't that weird?
But they're, yeah, I forget what they're talking about. But
oh
it's,
my god, yes.
But it's not the fact that they just punched a bunch of dudes' faces
they
off.
They completely ignore the fact that I think they killed a few dudes, and they're talking instead about how Mo says something about, like his appetite is,
every time I feel like eating, I think of that guy with the mouth.
Because I just keep thinking about that guy with the mouth, and it's so gross.
Yeah, they're like talking about the guy with the mouth open when they just punched some people's heads in because they're hollow heads, even though they're animated by the stuff right then.
I don't know.
All I know is that this is the end of Chocolate Chip Charlie for most of the
movie. Yeah, because what happens is, and I thought something here seemed weird, and I Googled and I had this confirmed. Mo sends Charlie to Washington, D.C. to meet up with another FBI agent.
I want you to go to Washington, D.C., and see Special Agent Frank Herbert.
Frank Herbert wrote the Dune series?
Yep. Yes, he did.
So, okay. I like the idea that he actually is going to find Frank Herbert and he...
get the scoop on the next Dune book?
Frank Herbert, the FBI.
So yeah, Charlie's out gone. Of here. He's going to D.C.
They were such a fun duo.
I know, I liked them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the actors are having a blast together, and they're like making each other laugh and do jokes. It's great. It's good stuff.
Yeah,
but it's over.
Great taste for today. Tastes great every way. Can't get enough of the stuff.
There's another stuff commercial. This one is with a bunch of dancing people.
Mm-hmm.
This was the DVD,
menu screen,
just looped
yeah.
over and over and over again.
What's the slogan? Enough is not enough.
Enough is never enough. Stuff.
Hey, let me tell you, Larry, there's enough.
Yeah.
There's enough in this movie.
It reminds me, the commercial kind of reminds me of the Coke commercial that I like to teach the world to sing, because it's just people.
Oh, the one that Don Draper
wrote? I wrote, it was like, Don Draper pitching the stuff. That's the best. And I wrote a Don Draper pitch. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
It's not just stuff. It's substance, the substance that comprises the human experience. I grew up in a whorehouse.
Oh, so this is late season Don Draper.
This is season like six Don Draper.
I was expecting the carousel, and you hit me up with something else.
This is after the Hershey pitch.
Yeah, it is.
This stuff was edited out of the show. That joke is funny to 5% of people listening.
Jackson knows. Hey, hon, I'm sorry. I think we skipped a whole bunch. So if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine. But let me just briefly.
Oh yeah, please.
I know that a stuff truck tries to run over Mo after a lady takes a walkie-talkie out of a stuff stand, like on the street.
Yeah.
And then doesn't he meet with the marketing dude who doesn't? Guy's got the worst slurring in this movie.
But you distribute it. You know what it is. You put it in the stores and the supermarkets.
I know what it is. Don't be ridiculous. I don't know what it is. Anybody know what it is? Anybody know what it wants?
And he mentioned that, if you take a critical mass of the stuff, that's when, you're replaced by... He's kind of acknowledging that there's, shit wrong with it.
Yeah, but he's just kind of straight up saying, No, yeah, this is an evil plan.
Yeah, and then Mo gets back with Nicole, the ad campaign lady, yeah. And she expresses regret for having helped with this. So I guess he told her that stuff is bad, and now she's sad about it. She name drops Ralph Nader and asks Mo can get Ralph Nader's help.
But I guess that Mo and Ralph Nader had a falling out or something. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I forgot about all that.
There's a lot going on. Yeah. It's because it's just like nonstop. But yeah, back to Jason's family and the nice John Waters scene.
Sure. Yeah. So yeah, Jason's family, they all confront him because he won't eat the stuff. And they want him to eat the stuff. And
Dad says they kill the bad things inside us.
Yeah. The dad gives a whole pitch.
There is something alive in there.
Jason, I mean, there's something alive in yogurt. It's called benign bacteria.
Yes.
I mean, there's something alive in a loaf of bread. It's yeast. I mean, that's a living organism. All microorganisms move, Jason. I mean, if you could see them with the naked eye.
Well, they send him up to his room with with a tub of stuff and say, don't come down until you finish it.
Yeah.
And so Jason's fucking plan.
The best plan.
Here's what he does. He empties it out into the toilet, right?
Great.
Flushes it. Solid. Great. Hey, you know what, Jason? Go downstairs and say, hey, I finished it.
I ate it.
I'm done.
Delicious.
No, that's not Jason's plan. Jason thinks on a plane that's higher than all of us.
Yeah, he's playing four-dimensional chess.
Because he fills that stuff tub with shaving
with
cream.
Barbasol shaving cream, which is probably what was in there anyway. But he straight up just, instead of pretending he ate it, he refills it with shaving cream, and then he goes downstairs and is actually just eating shaving cream out of a tub.
Yeah, to like show that he's eating it, he eats the shaving cream out of the
tub. Good plan. He goes downstairs with this tub, and the older brother is on his chair reading Amazing 3D.
With the giant 3D glasses.
Just sitting like a very normal person reading this 3D book. That's why it reminded me of a John Waters movie, is it felt very like 50s family send up.
Yeah, definitely. It was after he was sitting there playing video games, like old video games.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And they're all talking like a 50s like
Leave
educational
it to Beaver type
video.
Thing.
Yeah.
I've lost 5 pounds already this week and I've never felt better. Why are you talking like you're on a commercial?
I don't know. What he just throws down the thing and then the dad tastes it and is like, that's not stuff.
Oh,
and the kid runs out of the house and they all chase after him.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jason makes a break for it.
And Mo's there to pick him up because Mo had seen...
He saw in the newspaper that this
about the kid who destroyed
kid.
Stuff in the supermarket. So he was like, I got to talk to that kid.
And yeah.
Like, oh, I bet that kid knows something about the stuff that could help us out. If I just go pick up that little boy, no one will think twice about me.
Fresh fried taters. He goes in and picks up Jason. Jason gets in the back of Mo's car and immediately just barfs all over the back of the seat. Because, yeah, he did eat a whole bucket of shaving cream. And
you know what?
This is the best quote in the movie.
Everybody has to eat shaving cream once in a while.
If I were a graduating high school senior right now,
that would be my senior quote.
If anyone's graduating this year. This sucks. It's the start of the school year right now. But,
ooh, yeah, that sucks.
So just keep this in your back pocket. Someone make that their senior quote. They all fly to Georgia. So yeah, George. Okay, so this is Midland.
Now they're going.
This whole mining operation is. And Nicole has Mo pretend to be her quote unquote male secretary.
Sorry, I had to bring my male secretary along.
Their visit is under the guise of they want to shoot a new stuff commercial at the factory. It basically is going to be like the Honey Bunches of Oats commercial.
Oh, I don't know what you're
talking
about.
With the lady who goes, "Are you hungry? Do you know?"
No, but I'll take your word for it, hon.
Are you serious? You don't know her?
I'm sure after I watch this episode,
she's an icon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is she as iconic as the Where's the Beef lady who's in
not
this movie?
Not quite.
Sitting at a table with Abe Vigoda asking, yeah, where's the stuff?
How's the food, sweetheart?
Where's the stuff?
While they're touring the factory, they leave Jason in the plane because he's sleeping.
Like,
and so
out,
they figure, whatever, just leave him there, let him sleep. But...
Stuff happens
in the plane
and it kills the pilot, I guess, and Jason wakes up and sees it and then escapes out the little
the baggage
and then just
thing.
Fucking runs.
He runs.
Just runs into the woods.
And he
or
runs
whatever.
To a cave, or it looks like a cave. Cut back to the factory tour. There's a close up of some stuff, and it makes a fart noise.
Yep.
So the room where they put all the.
Cut back to Jason. He goes to the mines where stuff is being put into trucks. So Jason gets in. To one of these tankers?
Yeah, he's like in the tank of the truck. And then, of course...
I don't know what his plan was.
I don't know what it was. I guess to hide from the workers. But one of the workers then closes the tank and he's stuck inside this truck.
So Nicole and Mo go to a hotel and apparently they're fucking now because they're sleeping in the same bed even though they got two different rooms.
Yeah. Well, I think a scene was cut with their romance. That was one of the scenes cut. But then stuff comes out of a pillow and attacks attacks his face.
Mm-hmm, it smothers Mo. And so Nicole's plan is
to just light his face on fire.
Yeah, she dumps liquor onto the stuff and then lights it on fire.
While it's on his face. But it works. It like burns the stuff off his face just in time for a random dude in a plaid shirt to bust in the room.
Was he the... I don't remember if he was the hotel employee or not, but... As far as I can tell, it's just a random guy who runs in in like a flannel shirt and it is just he also gets attacked by the stuff. And so then they also set him on fire.
Yeah. And this thing is done with like one of those rotating rooms like they had for Nightmare.
It's fun.
Yeah. There's like stuff all over the wall. It's like plastering him to the wall.
Yeah.
And they light that shit on fire.
Yep.
And
which apparently works because, it saved Mo. But then this guy dies.
Yeah, I mean, fuck him.
Yeah. They drive back to the factory, and they learn the origin, the true origin of the stuff, and it comes from...
The ground.
A lake or something.
Yep, just like we saw in that first scene, it just comes from the ground, and there's like a lake full of it, and the effects are weird. they're like on a cliff watching these trucks go to pump the stuff out of the ground, and then so they can take it back to the factory, and... One of Mo's lines is just like, I gotta go steal that truck.
No, they siphon it right off and into the trucks. And the only way I can prove that is go down there and steal one of those trucks.
So he sneaks down there while planting explosives everywhere?
Yeah.
And then beats a guy up like 5 feet away from his coworkers.
It's very, I always think of the Wizard of Oz with the winkies.
Sure.
It's like that, where he kind of just yoinks the guy behind a corner.
Who doesn't make any noise or like doesn't call out or anything. And again, his coworkers are standing like 10 feet away from him.
They would at least hear
if not
see their coworker getting punched.
Yeah. But he manages to beat this guy up. And I thought he was going to do it so he could take his hat, because right now he's only in the... But he doesn't. He doesn't take the hat.
Yeah, he does. He takes the helmet.
No, he doesn't put it on. He's not walking around with a helmet.
Wait, really?
I don't know why he beat this guy up. I guess because the guy noticed him and started to follow him. But he just beat this guy up and didn't take the helmet.
So Jason's still in the truck. It's being slowly filled with stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy green screen.
The craziest green screen I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because like they didn't get the angle right. And all these green screen effects, the people have like green outlines around them.
Yeah, they do.
It's ridiculous.
I wonder why they green screened a lot of... those, because they already have
the
shots of him in the truck, so that wasn't the dangerous
part. Well, it's because the stuff is moving behind him, so you gotta get the shot of like the stuff moving, those effects, and easier to shoot Jason separately
and then worry about the effects later.
Yeah, rather than try to get that all in one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
This is where in my notes I just have, where is Paul Sorvino?
Yeah.
Because
he was in the credits.
Yeah, and he's pretty high up there, and... I thought maybe I, even though I know who Paul Sorvino is, for a second I thought, do I know who Paul Sorvino is? Did we see him and I just didn't register? So the three of them are driving.
And they're like, we can't go small towns. We'll probably control all these small towns and the police. Oh, because they get stopped by a policeman and they trick him. Then they pretend they're...
This is not a quote anymore. It's just
not
explaining.
A quote, but it's fun to talk like this.
Yeah.
Because the cop... pulls them over for their loose hose.
The hose is hanging at the big hose is hanging out the back of the truck. And so cop pulls them over and is like, hey, your hose is hanging out. And then Mo, before I could even say that joke out loud, because I had the exact same thought, says,
are you gonna arrest me for indecent exposure?
It's a great joke, and the cop immediately pulls his gun out
on
it.
Oh my god,
just
it's
like
so
points
fast.
It at. This cop does not like jokes.
No, he doesn't.
But yeah, they get out of that mess by like,
oh, we gotta go eat this stuff on the ground.
Yeah,
cop,
there's,
come eat
there's
this stuff
leaking out of the truck. So then they're all like, so oh, good. Well, you could shoot us, but you could also eat the stuff. Look, aren't you hungry for
then
stuff?
Then they knock him out.
I love that at this point in the notes, it just turns into they drive to a castle because fuck it.
Yep.
You know,
they drive this castle and a bunch of militia dudes come out of the
yeah,
grass.
Yeah, Mo says
them.
Something about how he knows the guy.
Yeah, because it's Paul Sorvino is the
yes,
head of this like
finally it's a militia.
Militia in this castle. And
I don't know. We don't really have it explained. We kind of do because they
like,
talk about their relationship.
Because Paul Sorvino was in the military, I guess.
You were worried about the commies putting fluoride in our water system. Now, you know, there's a thing going on now that's a lot worse.
And so that's how he recruits Paul Sorvino.
Oh, man, this is the
militia.
Best day of their lives, this militia. Yeah. They've been waiting for this.
Yeah, Wikipedia describes it as a right-wing militia.
Yes, far-right
which, like,
militia.
It comes in later, I guess.
Come on, you stuffy sons of bitches!
The militia takes the stolen truck that Mo and them were driving around. They take it back to the factory, and they kind of try and, like, Trojan horse themselves in.
Yeah.
And the one militia guy is basically undercover and is like, I found this truck. Do you want it back for some money?
And the factory security guard is like, yeah, here's what I'll pay you. And shoots him in the face.
This dude is like a
human being. He's not stuffy. He's like a guy. And then the militia attacks and they don't really care about the guy that just got shot in the face.
Yeah. There's a whole militia takeover of this factory. It's a whole thing.
Army just rushing in. Taking over this factory, and the voice over the loudspeaker is like, outsiders are here, don't engage with them, follow the plan. And I guess the plan is mass suicide.
They all kill themselves.
Yeah,
because
they find all these stuffies' bodies in this one room, just all dead.
In a room that is in the factory that it looks like a laser tag arena.
Yeah, the whole thing does.
Yeah.
I also love how this militia is storming this factory with all these rifles. They're shooting everywhere, and they're bringing along Nicole in her sundress and little kid Jason
just
right there on the foreground.
Like right
on the forefront.
Yeah.
They're running around with them.
Yeah.
At some point, I think Jason tells Paul Sorvino, he's like,
no show of resistance.
They may not be armed, sir.
Doesn't matter if they are armed. There is no match for the American boy. We have never lost a war.
What about Nam, sir?
We lost that war at home, Sonny.
I don't know
what the commentary is. I don't know
what
the fuck's going on.
What are you trying to say, Larry?
I don't know what he's doing with that character. Because he ends up, he's a good guy.
Paul Sorvino?
Yeah.
In terms of
the movie, the world of the movie.
Yes. Like a good guy, I guess.
The stuff bursts through a wall and they run away from it.
Yeah, it attacks, because first it like corners Jason and Nicole and they're like climbing in and out of these crates and Jason's yelling at Nicole. He's like, Nicole, move your ass.
Faster, Cole, hurry up, move.
Idiot.
Cole, you're fucking idiot.
Man.
And then the stuff just like busts through these walls and there's green screen stuff and it's weird.
Lots of good green screen. And then they all flee to Atlanta because Colonel Spears has a radio station.
He just happens
there.
To own radio stations. He's like, yeah, they'll introduce
he's
that
Alex
here.
Alex Jones.
And the fluoride in the water.
Yeah. They go into the radio station and the front guy at the desk is the best.
I think he's an actor who is, this is his first role, and he loves Paul Sorvino, and he is way too nervous to be acting in a scene
with
Paul Sorvino.
I wrote down that the front desk guy is all of us getting yelled at by Paul Sorvino.
Report!
Sir, our affiliates in Daytona Beach, Florida, Memphis, and Macon, they've all agreed to carry your remarks in full.
If you're in a movie where your role is to get yelled at by that guy, that's exactly what you're acting like.
He's
that'd
so
be
nervous.
So scary.
Yeah, he's like shaking as he's trying
it's
to get
so
through his lines.
Funny.
It's hilarious.
I love it. They plan a radio broadcast to warn people about the stuff. And this is when Charlie shows back up.
Yeah.
And
then they're like, cool, Charlie's going to help us with this broadcast.
I will permit this colored man to speak.
Oh. Spears is super racist.
Okay. I mean, sure, yeah.
I guess.
But like, we could infer that. I don't know if I needed it.
I don't, it was, it took me aback.
Yeah. Absolutely. Holy shit. Yeah, there's some comments about like, no towing the commie party line.
Oh, yeah. He's like, all right, but if he's like, if you start talking commie or start talking in code, I'll shoot you.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul Sorvino.
Okay.
But it turns out he doesn't even have to do that. Charlie's a stuffy.
His head explodes when he's talking to Nicole. Yeah. And this is like, this is a pretty good effect sequence.
Sure.
This head is
really
disgusting.
And he explodes into stuff. And they're like in... It's right after Jason comes in, too, that this happens. So it's Jason and Nicole in this small room with stuff filling up. And what follows is I wrote down like a Mystery Science Theater skit. Because that you see when Mo is on the other side of this glass, like it's a broadcasting station. So there's like it's a recording room booth and he's on the other side of the glass and he's like trying to break the glass. But the glass is a fake effect. And so after it breaks, he keeps swinging and stopping it where the glass was.
I did not notice
And
that.
Then he cuts open a wire and holds up the two ends of the wire.
That's what made me think of Mystery Science Theater.
That's the Mystery Science Theater part.
The prop.
The prop wire with like the
multicolored frayed ends.
Yeah, and it, like the wire is way bigger after he cuts it in half.
It looks like the power cord to Gypsy or something, the purple robot.
Oh, yeah. but he ends
so
up
right.
Yeah, he ends up using that to what? Light the stuff on fire and stuff.
Yeah, they electrocute the stuff and then they all kind of just go on like that didn't even happen and they're like, "All right, we're on in 30 seconds."
Yeah, I guess that was the big climactic fight with the stuff.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Cuz then they go on the radio broadcast and they tell America what the stuff is and there's like a little montage and then
there's like there's a mass public revolt against the stuff.
Yeah, they're like book burning the stuff. Yeah. But then it cuts to Nicole talking into the camera.
And at first I thought that this was the very end of the movie and that it was going to break the fourth wall. But no, it's part of like a televised public apology. So now we cut back to the company heads of the stuff who now we learn that the ice cream guy, the ice cream mogul,
in the first place.
Yep, he has now become an exec of the stuff.
Yeah, because they're going to repackage it as the taste.
The taste!
And it's only got 12% stuff.
Yep.
The rest is ice cream.
Yep.
And it's just enough stuff to get him hooked. And this is when Mo comes to... He's in the office of the stuff executive. And then he has Jason come in with like this big old box.
Yeah.
And then he pulls a gun out on these the stuff exec and the ice cream exec. And he sits them down and they fucking force feed him stuff. But it's great because like the exec is like... you wouldn't pull a gun on me in front of that little kid, would you? And it's like,
oh, he ain't a kid anymore. The stuff took away his parents and took away his brother.
Like you said, I've been through a lot.
I've been through some shit, man.
I've seen some shit.
Oh, man. Oh, it's so good. So, yeah, they force feed them the stuff.
Yeah,
it's
and it takes so long. It's one of those, like, they have to dissolve to later with, like, empty stuff cartons all over.
Yeah.
And,
it's very Seven.
Are you eating it? Or is it eating you?
And then they're like, they hear cop sirens and they're like, right on time. And that's the end of that scene.
Yeah.
I guess the cops came and arrested those guys.
First. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
If
okay.
this happened in real life.
No, those guys probably got a cush lobbying.
No, those guys just make the taste and the taste goes to market and everyone eats it. Nothing happens to them.
Yeah, come on, Larry.
Yeah. Cut to a shady delivery of the stuff starring Patrick Dempsey in his, I believe, first film role ever as shady stuff delivery boy number one, or however he's credited. It is a very young Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
Doing like a bootleg kind of delivery.
It's like it's black market stuff.
Black market delivery.
And this is the last scene, and it's like, oh, just so you know, there's still stuff out there and people are still eating.
Yep. It. And he's being helped by a guy who just looks like Daniel Day Lewis. And that's it. And apparently we missed a post-credit scene.
Ooh.
And it's a woman and holding the stuff in a bathroom and she's saying enough is never enough. It sounds bleak.
I think before on this podcast we've talked about like tiers of horror movies. Because I think we considered like Phantasm in that like second tier
where you have to be
in the genre.
Yeah, this isn't quality tiers. This is tiers of how into like specific niches of horror you have to be to know the movies on each tier. So top tier is Halloween, Nightmare. I like everyone knows those.
Yeah.
second tier.
It's like, you got your phantasms. Maybe Leprechaun a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, stuff like that.
Maybe The Thing is second tier.
Maybe. Maybe Hellraiser.
Yeah.
You just got, yeah, you have to like be a genre fan.
Yeah.
The casual layperson wouldn't know.
Sure.
And then like, this is probably getting into the third
tier.
I
think this might be like,
this is like,
layer.
Oh, you're digging kind of deeper now. It's cult. Like, this is some cult stuff.
Yeah. I mean, what, the fact that it's an Arrow video release?
Yeah, that probably
I
helped.
I feel like that's, they do kind of cult movie releases, right?
Sure. So that's what this is, but it's one of the tops of that tier. It's always referenced.
Yeah.
It's always it's well known among genre lovers.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to have watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
what a it's so much.
It's,
I mean,
a
it
lot.
Was really funny.
Yeah. I think when it ended, I was like, that was incompetent.
I mean, the effects are cool.
The effects
There's
are cool.
Some cool
he's,
stuff.
I guess he's trying to say stuff. Something. Mm-hmm. I want to watch more Larry Cohen movies. I'm not like scared off from them or anything. Yeah. I definitely want to check out Q. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And They Live.
No, It's Alive.
It's Alive.
I know.
I
mix those up too.
Because
Carpenters.
They Live. Yeah. My bad.
I mix them up too.
Yeah, but it's a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it. I think it's worth a watch.
I think
it's
watch
short.
It with some friends.
Yeah.
This is a good, like, dumb party movie. Like, if you're just watching something dumb with your friends.
You know what? This is like Toxic Avenger.
Yeah.
You know?
It reminded me of Toxic Avenger.
It's not as vulgar.
No.
Not nearly as
not
vulgar.
Not as horrifying. And, yeah. No. This is like, it's that same level of, like, 80s.
Yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah, so I recommend it.
Yeah, I do too.
You know what? Sometimes watch stuff that you don't like. Just
I do
it
all the time.
Yeah, I do it for a fucking job.
But then I like them. I yeah. come around and I like them.
Yeah, you can find things to like about stuff you don't like. I promise. If you,
but
dig.
It's not. I didn't dislike this.
No, because
it was a lot of fun.
I mean, Michael Moriarty alone
oh
is worth
God.
The price of admission.
Yeah,
he's such a fun person to watch mm-hmm. in this movie, and that's why I want to watch Q, because he's in that too.
Oh,
he did.
Okay.
He, I guess he did a whole like streak of movies with Larry Cohen.
Well, I'm not gonna think about it. You know, it won't be my fault. It'll be theirs if they don't give me what I want.
Is that about it?
I think so.
Cool. So make sure you follow Dead Meat James on Twitter and Instagram for all that social stuff.
Yeah, I'm at Carebeck. That's CarebecC. On Twitter and Instagram, and deadmeatstore.com if you want merch.
That sweet, sweet merch.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Check out the Patreon too if you want. That's patreon.com/deadmeatjames, I'm pretty sure, because we're about to record a commentary track. That's for the $3 and up tiers, but there's lots of rewards on there, and it's a fun way to support us. So do that. Tune in next week for whatever we do on the podcast. And until then, I'm James.
I'm Chelsea.
And this has been the Dead Meat Podcast.